Matthew 7. We're wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. It's been a great study for me. I hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as I have. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. 15 through 20. This may be part two of the false prophets and the false teachers. Beware. Beware of false prophets. Verse 15, Matthew 7. Which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Let me read that last one again. That's important. Wherefore, by their fruits, ye shall know them. Precious Lord, we thank you, Father God, and we pray right now that you would give us the gift, not the gift of tongues, but the gift of discernment, the gift of judging and testing, so that we will know them by their fruits. Father God, the word said many false prophets have gone out to the land. Father God, I believe there's more false prophets than true ones, Father God, in the church. Father God, we need discernment. So we pray right now that you would enlighten us, Father God, that we will know the good from the bad. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Knowing the good from the bad. Knowing the good from the bad. I don't take Cindy with me shopping a lot. We went to Sam's Club the other day. Spent $400. Had to renew our membership. Cindy be seeing stuff. So we in the fruit department, and because Ray on his fruit diet, he said. So we getting all these fruits, and Cindy looked over. I got an echo. And Cindy looked over and seen these grapes. And she said, them look good. She said, to get that one right there, no, the big ones is in that one. They had to be good because I only ate about three of them and I didn't see them no more. She knew a little bit about fruits that day. Many of us grew up in families. I know I did. My mother, and some of y'all women worked at Packard, had family members work at Packard. I think it's just was common. Everybody's house had plastic fruit on the table. Plastic apples, plastic bananas, plastic grapes. Rita, you remember that, Rita? Ours was all bit off on. We used to bite them up because, you know, we'd dare and bite them up. We knew it was bad. We knew it was plastic, but we still would bite them and we would turn them over so you couldn't see it. Jesus is talking here. Now, this is important. This is a message from the Lord. Okay? And he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, sheep's clothing, if you go online and look online, you'll see a wolf with a sheep on top of him, like a sheepskin jacket or something. That's not really what sheep clothing is, okay? I mean, I think that's a visual picture. So, you know, here's a wolf with a sheep, like you see the mascots, you know. That's not really what it means that he had on sheep clothing. Really, what is he going to come to you? It's a picture of someone coming to you in innocence. In sincerity, in humbleness, and just a harmless individual, okay? Now, got a lot of folks like that. And they come to you in, in sheep clothing. It's a picture of someone coming to you, and you look at him, and if you don't know any better, say, "But this is a good shepherd." Okay, and Jesus said, "You got to go a little further than that." Okay, he said, "You just can't look at the outward," and we outward folks. Okay, you know I'm an audio guy. I don't like looking at preachers. Okay. I like listening to them. I've listened to preachers over the years and then seen them live and didn't like it. Okay? So I'm an audio guy. I listen to a lot of sermons and it's good for me because I don't have to see it, you know? But these folks come to you in sheep's clothing. When the heart is evil, a lot of times we have to dress it up. And a lot of folks, Jesus says, these are false prophets now. And they're going to come to you in sheep clothing. But, somebody said, but. Inwardly, okay? Inwardly, they are what?
Ravening
wolves. Now, as I thought about this, and y'all, some of y'all know me by now. There's a lot of wolves out there. There's a lot of wolves out there. There's a lot of different breeds of wolves. That's what I was looking at.
Amen.
Yesterday on my train ride. Cindy and I went on a train ride. It was so romantic.
Amen.
3-hour train ride. Surrounded by beer drinkers. On a train. Walking through the train with. I was like, this guy gonna spill this beer on me. There's the Indian wolf. There's the Ethiopian wolf. There's the red wolf. That's where they get the one from Little Red Riding Hood. Riding?
Red.
The red wolf. The Arctic wolf. How about the Mexican wolf? And when you start talking about wolves and their habits, wolves run in packs. Okay? They're stalkers. They'll follow you. Because they're not strong animals. They don't have a bite like a crocodile or a lion. You know, they have to just chop and chop and chop. It's going to take a long time for a wolf to kill something. So I was just studying wolf habits. Okay? And when Jesus used the wolf in this illustration, in this story, he knew what he was talking about. He said, you know, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inside, inwardly, they are ravenous. And that word ravenous means that's just a sense of desperation, starving, just wanting to just consume you. Just a hungry wolf, a hungry pack of wolves. Let's put it like that. Ezekiel 13, I think I've read this before, but it talks about these lying prophets. Ezekiel 13, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy and say unto you, and say thou unto them that prophesied out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord." Out of their own hearts. They're saying, "Thus say the Lord," but they're not true prophets. He said, "Oh Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert." What's a fox do? We are sneaky as a fox, sly as a fox. And he's talking about these prophets. They're like foxes. He says, "You have gone up into the gaps and either made the heads for the house or Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord." They're not preparing folks for the battle. I believe that runs through the word of God. I believe that runs through the word of God. I've experienced that. I don't, you know, want to put anybody out on blast. But I believe that folks aren't learning the word of God and they're not prepared for the battle. And I say this because I know Claire just got through with a battle. That was a battle. It was a battle. She battled for 18 months. Cindy's in a battle now, and they, you know, battling with her sister being sick, and her sister wasn't surrounded like by folks like Claire. And you got to be prepared for the battle. Folks, listen, let me tell you something. There's a battle raging. It's coming your way. We always say you're either in trouble, head for trouble, or just getting out. But you better be ready. And the job of the church is to prepare the people for the battle.
Amen.
Okay? I think we sing a song, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Okay? And we are. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're on the battlefield. And it's important that you come to church and get prepared. Imagine if you were in the locker room right now, it's Sunday morning, it's 5 to 12, and the NFL is getting ready to kick off at 1 o'clock. How many of you think them players is clowning around? How many of you think they talking and clowning around? They getting ready for something meaningless, really. Okay? It really is. It's something. They're getting ready for something meaningless. We're getting ready to do battle. For real. Some of us closer than we think. Okay? When I read stuff like a man just walking into the mall, he shot the woman in the Bible. And news said he shot teenagers all the way up to senior citizens. I just thought that was just biblical, and I spiritualized everything. But really what he did, he shot the young people. I don't know, a teenager. Okay? Teenager what? 13? Up to a senior citizen. So he shot up the whole place. Some of y'all know that can never happen at Eastwood Mall or at the Southern Park Mall. I dare to differ. I dare to differ. How do I identify a wolf? There's a lot of wolves out there telling lies. I call them wolf preachers. Prophecy wolf. Anybody ever met the prophecy wolf? Always got to make it a prediction. Divination. Foretelling. You know what? I heard it. You know, I heard it a couple weeks ago. You know, we praying for healing. We claim that healing. Let me tell you something, folks. You can get healed, but some of you have been healed. You're going to leave here. You're going to leave here. Forget about the prophecy wolves. They tell you one thing. This is going to happen. This never happened. You ain't going to die. Really what they try to tell you is that you're not going to die. That's not biblical. It's appointed unto man wants to die. So when the prophecy wolf come around, he come around telling you, you know what? Just claim that thing. Just claim it. I listened to a guy this the other day talking the same thing. I bind Satan. I bind him. You're not binding nothing, dude. He's talking to these kids, and I'm listening to him and the staff, and he's come in. He's a guest speaker, and he's talking to the kids. He's going to close. I bind Satan. Listen, folks. You ain't binding nothing.
Amen.
Ain't nobody binding anything. Satan is running loose. Go down to North Carolina if you can bind in Satan. Go down there. He ain't binding nothing. So, you know, I tell people, don't be a simple-minded Christian. Some folks, it should be so obvious that they fake.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
They say, by his stripes, you are healed. I hear that stuff.
Yeah.
By his stripes, you are healed. You go to the hospital and you on death bed. You dying. You're gonna die. And the hospice people looking at you like you out of your mind.
Uh-huh.
They've seen death so many times. That ain't the time for you sitting and talking about by his stripes, you are healed.
Uh-huh.
If you explaining it right, then that's a good thing.
Uh-huh.
Because by his stripes you are healed. But his stripes mean you are he's dying. Those stripes is his way of saying your sins are forgiven. Okay?
Amen.
That's what the stripes for. It ain't for you being healed.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Some things you're not going to be healed of. It's spiritual healing.
Amen.
Not physical. Listen. Don't get upset with the preacher.
Amen.
Listen to what Romans says. Romans says this. 16 verse 17. It says this. Now I beseech you, brethren, people of God, people that got some sense. And I believe when the word of God says brother, I believe he's talking about people that got some sense. Okay? Because there's nothing worse than a simple-minded Christian. A simpleton. We used to call him in high school, he was a simpleton. He's simple-minded. About everything. You know, you can't be simple-minded in this world. Because the world looks, the wolves are out there looking for simple-minded people. When I watch this stuff and I watch these mega churches and I look out there and these dudes ain't saying nothing and folks falling out, I say, there's a bunch of, just a whole 10,000 simple-minded folks.
Amen.
Just simple-minded. Can't say nothing. We falling out, running around in circles.
Uh-huh.
Now I beseech you, brethren, folks that know the Lord. So don't call yourself a brethren. Don't call yourself a believer. Don't call yourself a man of God, a woman of God, that you know something. See, we got too many folks running around here talking about, I'm a man of God, I'm a woman of God, don't know nothing.
Amen.
Can't quote no scripture. Don't go to Bible study. Don't go to Sunday school. Don't read the Bible. Don't do no devotions. Don't pray. Don't do nothing. Don't testify. Don't do nothing. And I'm a believer. In what? Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division. You know what? When you put one in the church, okay, who calls himself a believer, that's not, guess what they're going to do? They're going to cause divisions. Because they're going to be doing stuff that the church is not like, why is they doing that?
Uh-huh.
Okay? Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Ye have learned, because they haven't learned it.
Uh-huh.
This is what happens. And avoid them. So if you hear and folks avoid you, don't want to be bothered with you, you listen, maybe you've been marked. Okay? Now, watch what it says. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. That's why you go to a lot of big churches. They ain't there. Folks ain't there for the right reasons. You know, you go there and they got cars all over the walls, real estate agents, car dealerships, you know, you name it. You name it. They selling oils and they got their cars up, hairdos and hair shops and spas. They there. But they, you know, I'm accounting firm and they just doing business. They doing business in the church. Some of them, I've been to churches, you look, you got their program and they got all their folks in there, you know. And it's on its way to the, it's on its way. Okay? It says this. For they are such that serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. See, simple folks like to prophesy. Tell me something. Tell me what's going to happen. Tell me if I'm going to hit the number. Tell me if I'm going to hit the lottery. You know, you go to churches now and they're raffling off stuff. And they got Chinese auctions going on. And I'm telling you the truth. Okay? Selling raffle tickets. I don't even buy my football game. You want 50-50. Okay. I ain't buying no 50-50 raffle ticket. You too serious about this stuff. I don't know.
Amen.
How serious should not be?
Amen.
That takes me to the worldly wolf. You know you got the worldly wolves? Y'all know what the worldly wolf is? You don't even recognize them. They worldly. They just blend right in. They blend right in with the world. They doing just what the world doing. You know, folks like the worldly wolf preachers. Come as you are, do what you want to do, you know. That's a good idea. You know, I was watching Dancing with the Stars, and they did this. You know what? You know, there's preachers now with dancers behind them. Y'all think I'm joking? They preaching and they got dancers. While the preacher preaching, they got dancers and they doing the whole sermon. And they got the worldly crowd. It's full. Can't find a seat. You got to get there early. The worldly preacher. You know what the worldly preacher, God's word talks about him in Ephesians 5:19. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And you see, in the worldly church, nobody going to preach on it. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy and murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like of the which I tell you before, and have told you also in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know what a false preacher's message is? If you really listen, the false preacher's message is this. The road ain't narrow. The road ain't narrow.
Amen.
It's wide. Okay? The road to heaven ain't narrow. Don't listen to Brother Neil over talking about it's a narrow road. You know, he all messed up. He in the Stone Age. Though God didn't widen the road. Yeah, God didn't widen the road. It's wide now. He ain't turning nobody away. See, the mega church ain't turning nobody away, so they believe heaven ain't turning nobody away. Everybody going in. All you got to do is die. That's not biblical, but that's the worldly wolf message. See, that's the worldly wolf message. Here's what Paul says in Colossians. Talk about these worldly wolves. People say, I'm going to have a hard time. I'm going to help you identify these worldly wolves, because the word of God said you'll know them by their fruit. We're going to get to the fruit. Colossians 3, and then this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Put it on the list. If you be then risen with Christ. I like that. If you be risen with Christ, if you've been born again, if you've been saved, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have been risen with Christ, watch this. Seek those things which are above. That's not a suggestion. That comes with the territory. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Listen, how do I do that? Set your affections on things above, not on the things of this earth. Amen. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, Pastor, that's that narrow road preaching. It is. But it's biblical, and that's all God called me to do is preach the Bible. I don't know what else to do, because y'all don't want to hear about other stuff.
Amen.
Ephesians 2. Another one of my favorite verses of all time. I think these, you have your list of 20 favorite verses. These two should be in there. Okay? Pastor Neil's favorite verses. Here's Ephesians 2. Y'all know this one. I can quote this one. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. I like that. Not of works. Now watch this. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now watch this. Now we miss verse 10. See, verse 10 is where it really come into play. For we are His workmanship. Let me say that again. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ. We were created in Christ. See, the power that God used to raise Jesus, the power that God used to part the Red Sea, the power that God used to raise Lazarus, the power that God used to heal the blind man, the power that God used to deliver the woman with the issue of blood is the same power that he used to save us and to deliver us.
Amen.
We can't forget that. We were created in Christ. What did he do it? He was created in Jesus Christ unto good works. Good work. Now the worldly wolf can't give you this message, which God had before ordained that we should do what? Walk in them. That word ordained means we were made ready to do this. When God saved us, he made us ready to walk in a certain way.
Amen.
Okay. Walk in them. Watching little somebody out there just trying to walk. God created her to walk. And she walking. Got tennis shoes on today. And she walking. Now when you spiritualize her, many of us, we were made to walk. We would just be laying around. We can't even walk. We can't walk. We adults, Christians, but we can't walk in Christ. So we would be sitting there, 15, 16 years old. Your baby ain't walking yet. No, ain't walking yet. See, that's how we are as Christians. Been saved 15, I've been saved 20 years, still ain't walking.
Amen.
We would call that something. You know, we would take you to the doctor and say, listen, doctor, my baby 15 years old and can't walk. And doctor would put some Forrest Gump type stuff on his legs and stuff. Still ain't walking. Well, your baby ain't created in Christ.
Amen.
Your baby ain't saved.
Amen.
Then the doctor asked the question, what do your baby like to eat? Does he feed on the word of God? Your Christian baby. Does he feed on the word of God? No, the baby don't like Bible study. The baby don't like Sunday school. The baby don't like going to church. The baby don't like singing. The baby don't like ushering. The baby don't like doing nothing in the church. Well, your baby ain't saved.
Amen.
Can't walk in the Lord.
Amen.
I'm just trying to make you, try to get some, listen. Your baby messed up. See? We don't understand. But you know, a lot of Christians can't walk.
Yeah.
A lot of Christians don't have no desire for the things of God. No appetite for the word of God. No appetite. Ask them to pray. I can't pray. Ask them to do anything. What can you do? But then Philippians 4:13. I can do all things that Christ that strengthens me. Well, let's go to the nursing home. Oh, no, I can't. Smell. Well, let's do some youth ministry. No, I can't mess with kids. They get on my nerves. Wait a minute, you just quoted. Can't do nothing. All right, let me move off the worldly wolf. We got a lot of worldly wolves, and they ain't going to teach you nothing. But they in the world. See, they can't teach you nothing in the world. The worldly wolf in the world. The worldly wolf like stuff that the world like. You know? How about this one? Kind of. Just the ignorant wolf. You know, that's my favorite word. Ignorant. He's ignorant. And I try to use it, you know, the clinical way. Just don't know. You know, just don't know. A lot of wolves out there, a lot of pastors out there just don't know the word of God.
Uh-huh.
They just don't know the word of God. And they not teachable. They don't want to learn. They don't want to learn. They don't have the patience to sit and study because they don't have to. Because their congregation don't demand them to preach the word to them.
Amen.
See, you have to demand, you have to train your people to hear the word of God. Okay? People say, well, you preach an hour every Sunday? I couldn't do that in my church. I know you can't because your people don't want to hear you for an hour.
Amen.
And some folks don't want to hear me for an hour, but the ones that's here, they've been trained. They know if I go 30 minutes, they're going to be like, Pastor, what's wrong with you?
Amen.
You sick?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I heard a preacher say, well, you can't say it in 20 minutes, can't say it. Don't need to be saved. Save something for next week. All that kind of stuff. But that's just the unlearned, ignorant wolf. And you know, and they turn out to be smooth talkers. You know, these are smooth talkers. They whatever you like, they do. They like community organizers. You know, they can spend all day in the community, but they can't spend 20 minutes in the pulpit. Oh, they can march. You know, I get an email. We having a prayer march. Listen, let me tell you something. I'm not marching with the devil. Okay. You won't see me marching nowhere. Okay? Because I know what's the answer. If you see me out there, Let me tell y'all something. I'm gonna tell y'all what's wrong with Youngstown. I can tell you.
Come on.
Okay? It's godless.
Yeah.
It's godless. And until Jesus Christ is exalted by those that are in leadership and in the churches, it's going to be a mess. The East is going to be a mess. And all these public schools are going to be a mess because they took Jesus out the curriculum. And now you want me to come and help you?
Amen.
And you know, you got you, Dr. North Carolina, and you got all the preachers standing behind Al Sharpton and them. Let me tell you something. I'm not standing behind Al Sharpton and them. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Because see, they're getting what they deserve. A fallen world is getting what they deserve. You know, transgender bathrooms and all that kind of stuff. God said, "Little one, go ahead on, do your thing. I just believe that stuff. You reap what you sow.
Amen.
You reap what you sow." And America's reaping what she has sown. Okay, you think you can kill a million babies a year? You think you can kill a million babies a year? Make it legal. Okay, you think you can have a president of the United States stand before the whole world and say, and call up the guy from the NBA, the openly gay homosexual, call him up on the phone. Congratulations. I just want to tell you, I'm proud of you. Let me tell you something. America's got problems. Big trouble in America, because God is saying, let me tell you, America, you do your thing, America. And we doing our thing. Let me tell you, we doing our thing. That's why you can walk in. You better be careful. You walk in, Burger King might see somebody on the floor on the D. And you, ain't none of y'all going to the mall after 6 o'clock. You got any sense? 6 o'clock? I ain't going to the mall. Especially in the fall. Get dark. You really are in the Youngstown under house arrest. Because America doing his thing. Doing his own, having his own way. And you know what? You got the biblically ignorant rules. They don't want to get in the pulpit and preach the gospel. They can stand out and you know, the mayor, he got a list. Oh, I need a preacher. The mayor, you know, I need a preacher. Somebody gonna pray for the city, but they gonna say Jesus. Uh-huh. They got their list of preachers. You said, well, you see the same ones all the time. Uh-huh. And you don't know they ain't no good. Yeah. Y'all do. Y'all like, oh, there you go again. There you go again. I know. Y'all know they ain't no good.
Amen.
They there. The preacher got on the list. Oh, let me see. We caught him last time. You know, rotate them. Put me on their list. Let me pray. Listen to the biblically ignorant wolf. Here's God's direction. Y'all need to know this stuff. Here's what God called pastors to do. Watch this now. This is interesting. Ephesians 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give them? Here's the answer, because the scripture is right there. My job is not to be a community organizer.
Amen.
Okay? My job is right here in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. That's it. Threefold. The pastor's job, perfecting of the saints. You know how you get perfected? By hearing the word. By hearing the word. By coming out and hearing the word, being preached in Sunday school and Wednesday night and Sunday morning. Hearing the word. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of ministry. Yeah, that's an interesting one there. For the work of ministry. We're going to get to the lazy wolf in a second here. But for the work of ministry. Keep going, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. You know what the unity of the faith is? We had this question, I had this question. You know what faith is? You believing in John 3:16. That's faith. You believing in John 3:16. Okay? That's faith. What is faith? Believing that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave. That's faith. That's faith. And our folks don't believe that. Because if you believe it, you act different. You live different. How about the lazy wolf? I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to spend too much time on it. There's lazy folks out there. See, a lot of wolves are lazy. When you look in the animal kingdom, wolf can get lazy. You know why? Because they're not beast of like a lion or something. They can't just walk up on somebody on something and just eat it. Okay? They're not strong like that. But you know what? They eat dead stuff. They eat dead roadkill raccoons. They eat deer on the side of the road, squirrels. You know, a wolf will clean up the streets. Y'all wonder, we got two or three of them back here. How many of y'all know that? On this property, we got two or three wolves, coyotes. Can my buddies come out here and hunt deer? They got them cameras back there. And they didn't tell me. Well, you know you got some coyotes back there. Okay? So you wonder, you know, the street department ain't always cleaning up these raccoons and stuff on the side of the road. And they not. Y'all think, see, they know, because they know they just lazy. See, and ain't nothing like a lazy preacher. See, you know, a lazy preacher. See, a lazy preacher is just about getting that money. And a lazy preacher will go anywhere. He'll go anywhere. He's willing to do anything for that money. say anything, support anything, go anywhere, you know, drag your church around. You know, some of y'all know people that drag the church around. Pastors drag them around. Every week they somewhere. Got the preacher get $100. $200 now. Lazy folks. Watch this. Because they like money. And some folks think this is for people in the church. This verse is mainly for pastors and preachers. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Some people think this is for people. I've heard people use it against people. It's not against people. It's mainly for preachers and ministers. It says this in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. 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 Wolves. Pastor. We talk about wolves. How do I figure out a wolf? The word of God says you'll know them by their fruit. Now that's important. Fruit is not your children. Okay, let me make that clear. Fruit is not your children. Fruit is not your children. People say, well, you know, he got bad fruit. No, fruit ain't your children. Okay? Someone's got crazy kids. That ain't my fruit. Okay? Y'all look at Ray and say, Ray is the pastor's fruit. Ray ain't my fruit. Ray got his own fruit. Ray is his fruit. What I do is my fruit. What Ray do is his fruit. Okay? Amen. I hope y'all get that. Fruit is not your people's. Okay? Now let me clarify. Let me clarify. James says this in James 3. Talk about fruit. Okay? Wisdom. Conversation and just being peaceable and gentle and merciful and all that you find in James 3 in James 3 verse 1, excuse me, 13. And he says, who is wise and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show it out of a what? A good conversation. Conversation is your behavior. His works with meekness of wisdom. Watch this now. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Don't tell nobody you, Christian. You run around with a bitter heart. You run around here with a bitter heart and you lying and conniving and envying and full of envy. Don't lie against the truth. See, this wisdom descendeth not from above. Just that's the word of God. James was a pastor talking to his peoples because he was talking to his peoples, his church, because he knew what was in his church. He said, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For from where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, here we go. But the wisdom that is from above, okay? Brethren, son of God, child of God, brother in Christ. What's up, my brother? But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, if you're a child of God, you'd be like, the second part of that, just me. That's just me. I am. That's me. The word of God just described who I am. Pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And you just describe me. Everybody here should be saying, that's just me. If you say, oh man, I'm so peaceable, so gentle, so easy to be entreated. Open door policy, full of mercy. Why am I full of mercy? Because I understand God's mercy. I understand that God did not give me what I deserve, and why should I look at anybody else any different? I'm full of mercy. Now, Matthew 3:8 says this, Therefore, he said, bring therefore fruits of, excuse me, bring therefore fruits meet for repentance. Now, immediately somebody say, well, I know what repentance means, and I have repented. Listen, repentance, say, you know, the definition, here's out of, right out of the dictionary. The activity of reviewing one's actions and feelings, remorse or regret for past wrongs. It involves a commitment to personal change and a resolve to live a more responsible life. That's out of the dictionary, not the Bible dictionary. Okay? Now here's another definition of it. Turning from sin. I made a 180 on turn from sin. That's not it neither. That should happen. But here's the real definition of it. Changing your mind about who Jesus Christ is. Changing your mind about who Jesus Christ is and turning to God for salvation. That's repentance. Changing your mind about who Christ is. Listen. Now, here's another one of my favorite verses. Put it on my list, 20. Luke 23. Huh? Y'all know it. Here's repentance. Here's repentance spelled out step by step. I keep going over this. It comes to my mind all the time. Here's the thief on the cross. And he repented. Somebody said, well, you know, he was on the cross. He just, you know, last minute. And he had opportunity. He had time. He spent time on the cross with Jesus. He had time to examine him and look at him. And I think when they put that superscription above his head, said, this is the King of the Jews. Everything came clicked. But then somebody asked him, why didn't it click with the other thief? He didn't want it to click. He wanted to get off the cross. The other one wanted to go to heaven. See, some of you just want joy right now. I just want to live my best life right now. Uh-huh. And then some of us want to live it in heaven. Because they know one day you're going there. Amen. Now watch this. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Done with him. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. Mm-hmm. You died just like him, man. That's right. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Now, there's an omission of sin. There's an omission. I am a sinner, and I understand that I deserve to die, for the wages of sin is death. But this man have done nothing amiss. That's important, that you see Jesus in his perfect holiness without sin. Holy man, without sin. And he said unto Jesus, Lord. You see repentance there? You see a turn? You see him seeing Jesus Christ, who he is? He see him now, he's seeing him as Lord. He sent him as Lord. And until you see Jesus as Lord, you can't be saved. You can come to church. And you can sing in the choir. And you can usher. And you can give a lot of money to the church. But until you see Jesus Christ as Lord, you can't be saved. You can't be saved. You can't be saved. You will know them by their fruit. And there's fruits meet for repentance. That means this person now has seen Jesus correctly. This is why you have to push it. And I tell these ministers, I tell the teacher, I tell the Sunday school teacher, even Caitlin, teaching them little kids, push it. Push it on them little kids. Jesus is Savior. Jesus is Lord. Push it, push it, push it. Push it, push it, push it. The kids are here better than the adults. Like little kids, they're tender. Their hearts is tender. Their minds are tender. You know? These old fogies in the Sunday school question. Always want to ask questions like Deacon Oliver. Always. See, when God saves us, he commands the demand that we bear fruit. Don't tell me about you being a child of God and you bearing bad fruit.
Amen.
It's impossible. You can't be a child of God and bear bad fruit. The word of God says, you are known by their fruit.
Amen.
Unapproachable, evil, cantankerous. Unapproachable. I'm a Christian. You're not. Pastor, that's mean. That's not mean, that's truth.
Amen.
Watch what Jesus said. Now, I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. This is just Jesus talking. Jesus said this, you have not chosen me. John 15, 16. You have not chosen me. You couldn't. But I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it.
Amen.
Watch this now. You ever wonder why prayers aren't being answered? You wonder why the world's in a mess? Maybe we need to take a look at the church. Maybe we need to look at the people of God and see if they're bearing fruit. Because you can't go to the Lord with a rotten, nasty fig tree. Bearing bad fruit and on your knees praying for somebody. I understand why a lot of folks don't want to pray. I don't want to pray. You shouldn't want to pray. You really shouldn't want to sing. You really shouldn't want to do anything until you bear good fruit.
Amen.
Because the world watching you, are you bearing good fruit? I know they're watching me. You the chaplain, you walking around. I'm walking around in the devil's headquarters. I'm walking through the pits of hell, talking about I'm a man of God. And everybody watching. Folk watching you. Here's some more fruit you need to have. Fruits of discernment and sincerity, righteousness, and a fruit that gives God glory, and a fruit that praises God. Paul says this to the Philippians. I'm going to let y'all go. Not that I want to, but I am. Okay. Philippians 1. This is important. I hope y'all, you write it down, look at these things. Because I don't want y'all to, you know, what the pastor preached today. I don't know. You know, you go to a lot of churches, it don't even matter. It's rather who playing. They ain't rather what the choir saying. It's more important what the choir say than what the pastor preach.
Uh-huh.
And I see it. They put more time in the choir rehearsals and getting ready for the Sunday service singing than they do getting ready their hearts and their souls and their minds ready to hear the word of God.
Amen.
See, you got to be prepared to hear the word of God. I can't hear him. You're not prepared to hear him. You couldn't hear Billy Graham. You couldn't hear John MacArthur. You couldn't hear Chuck Swindoll. You couldn't hear nobody. You bring Jonathan Edwards in here. You couldn't hear him. I bring Apostle Paul here to preach. We had Apostle Paul stepping out of heaven to preach. You couldn't hear him. Heart ain't right. Can't hear him. Been up all night watching Netflix. Saturday Night Live. You don't hear the word of God. Oh, man, I don't even want to get up. Philippians 1. Not you, Claire. I know you had some struggles this morning. Philippians 1 and 9. Watch this now. Paul's talking to the church. He's talking to a good church. The Philippians church was known for its joy and his fellowship and his love for one another. Paul's talking to a good church. This is important. Because you can never get enough. Some of you had enough. You had enough already this morning. Man, I had enough of him. Gang, they're getting ready to kick off. Watch this now. Here's Paul praying for the church to grow. Praying for the church to grow. Not numerically. Paul wasn't caring about no numbers. He said, in this I pray. Paul, in this I pray to a good church now. He's not praying to the First Corinthian church. He's not praying to the Galatian church. He's not praying to a church that's got troubles, problems. He's praying to a good church. And he says, in this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You know why? Because he knew what kind of people was out there. He knew what was coming. He knew that Christians were going to go under, going to be up under it. You know, and the church is just caving in, folding like a tent. Don't have a problem with nothing. Church don't stand for nothing. Nothing. You know, I listen to the news. I listen to Christian radio, and churches just folding. You know, we accepting homosexual priests and homosexual clergymen and homosexual pastors and all this stuff. Then they wonder why nobody want to go to church. Because people know that the church ought to stand for the truth. You know, most folks come in here lost. They come to church lost. They see some stuff in here and be like, this ain't real. Paul says that I pray that you would just abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Knowledge mean what? Learning about the things of God. Hosea said, our people perish for a lack of knowledge. When I turn on the TV and I see what's going on in all these cities and I see these marches and folks holding hands, I said, look, our people perish for a lack of knowledge. Just in trouble. You ain't got to turn to God. World, turn to God. Jesus, Paul saying, you need to turn to God. In all knowledge and judgment. Why, Paul? That ye may approve things that are excellent. That's discernment. Paul wants them to have discernment. I want my kids to have discernment. You know, Jill, you got to have discernment. You got to be able to look at a situation and say, that's good, but it could be better. That's really bad. Stay away. You have to have discernment. This ain't worth fighting for. I got to get up out of here. I got to leave right now. That's discernment. I remember being at a YSU game. Cindy and I was at a YSU game. We seen one of the girls from our church that we was going to at that time. And there was a big fight. And Cindy and I was going away from it. And then there was groups of kids going to it. That's like a discernment. Cops are everywhere. They going to it instead of away from it. Some things you got to get away from. Some things you got to run. You got to run like Joseph. You got to run. You're going to get in a situation. You got to run. It don't stop. Paul says that you may approve that things that are excellent. That are excellent. See, people of God ought to be people who want excellence. Some folks you just can't get involved with. Some things you just can't get involved with. How does someone with a heroin epidemic going on in this world, how can someone try crack for the first time? How can that be? You done seen it. You got uncles and cousins. You done buried people that, you mean, I'm going to try it one time. Huh? I got to try it. That we may approve the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You know, there's a fruit of sincerity. Being sincere. Being sincere about your work. Being sincere about your ministry. You know, I have Cindy gone. I can talk now. Now, I'm on this plane. I'm on this train ride, and my despicable brother-in-law, he won't listen to this because it's too much godliness for him. And he comes over, and, you know, he's looking at me. And, you know, they world travelers. They go to Florida. We've been on a cruise. We go to the Barbados. You know, they go to Union Baptist, or they go to Friendship, you know, the big-time church. Where that's impressive. That don't impress me.
Amen.
And I said, I can get on the internet and go to anywhere I want to go. Okay? Save all that money. But see, God has called me, and he knows it. God, I said, God has called me to the pastorate. And I can't do that stuff.
Yeah.
There's things I can't do. When you accept the call, you know, it eliminates some stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now, it ain't that you got to drop it. It's like the sun. You know, you ever watch the snow melt? You don't see it melt. But you know, when the sun come out, it's going to melt the snow. And when you are a man of God and God has called you to the ministry, the sun going to come out and melt some things off of you. It's just going to melt some things off of you. Because you're going to get a new desire. You're going to get new desires and affections. And you're not going to be able to do some stuff. Not because somebody told you you don't need to do that. It's because you just don't do it.
Amen.
I don't need to go on vacations. I need to be what God has called me to be on Sunday mornings.
Amen.
Right here. And I know preachers that they have 15 Sundays off this year.
That's right.
Let's take a call sick day. Let's take a Sunday off. You know, let somebody else preach. Being filled. Watch this now. Being filled. This is why we preach. This is why I preach long. I want y'all to be filled when y'all leave here. Be filled with the fruits. Here's our word again. Of righteousness. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. I just can go and go on this fruit stuff. But the question, as I close, how's your fruit? What kind of fruit you bearing? And again, fruit not your kids. I pray that we had good kids. That's good. You know, he said, well, my fruit, that's my, you know, you're here to serve. Chips don't fall too far from the block. Fruits of righteousness and holiness. Joy, peace, long-suffering. All that's fruit. Remember this. Galatians 6. Be not deceived. Okay? See, America's deceived. But God said, you be not deceived. Why? God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what you sowing? You sowing something. The Bible says, sower went out to sow seed. Somebody, you sowing something. Seeds of righteousness. But you sowing.